Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Q2 FY23 results conference call of Hero MotoCorp, hosted by Emkay Global Financial Services. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions at the end of today's presentation. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touchtone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I would now like to hand the conference over to Raghunandan from Emkay Global Financial Services. Thank you, and over to you.
Thank you. Good morning, everyone. On behalf of Emkay Global Financial Services, I welcome you all on the Q2 FY23 earnings call of Hero MotoCorp. I would like to thank the management for giving us the opportunity to host this call. Without further ado, I would like to hand the call to Mr. Umang Khurana, who is the Head of Investor Relations, to introduce the management. Over to you, Umang.
Thanks, Raghu. Thanks for having us. Hello, and welcome everyone to Hero MotoCorp's Q2 FY23 post-results investor call. Trust everyone had a happy and a good festive. With us on the call today, we have our CFO, Niranjan Gupta, our CGO, Ranjivjit Singh, and our Head of EMBU, Swadesh Srivastava. As usual, we'll begin with opening comments from Niranjan. Over to you, Niranjan.
Thanks, Umang. Hi, welcome everyone to Hero MotoCorp's Quarter Two Fiscal Year 23 earnings conference call. Namaskar to everyone. Easier to use namaskar given the time zones. Anyway, it looks like namaskar may become the most used form of greeting, even in the global financial capital. You would have seen our results announced yesterday evening. We delivered quarter revenue of 9,075 crores and net profit of 716 crores. The results include one-off mark-to-market loss on account of Gogoro investment of rupees 44 crores. Our first half revenues grew by a solid 25%, while profits grew by 15%. Continuing our focus on both top line as well as profitability, we improved our EBITDA margin sequentially from 11.2% to 11.4% and delivered our highest ever first half gross profit per vehicle at rupees 17,140 per unit of vehicles sold. We continue to drive portfolio premiumization, and launch of XTec variants across all the key models have met with huge success. During our 32-day festive period, the XTec variants comprised 20% of overall retail sales volumes, where our total retail sales, as you know, grew by 20% over last year. This builds a strong foundation for growth, both in volumes and value moving forward. We are building a strong pipeline of premium products as well, and you will be able to see exciting model launches in this segment every year. This will help us build market share in the premium segment and boost profitability over medium term. We've been focusing on growing our PAM business in the last few quarters and glad to report that parts business revenue for first half was at 2,300 crores, registering a growth of 45%. Parts business revenue now accounts for 13.7% of revenue, and we aim to increase it to 15%. Beyond the growth prospects in the parts, which is a traditional business, we aim to grow our accessories and merchandise, which has got huge opportunities over the next few quarters. In order to address the affordability in the entry segment, as we all know, we have been continuously driving finance penetration, making mobility easier for the masses. Our finance penetration has now gone up to 60% plus, and again, this builds a strong underlying platform to translate the desire and need of people into real demand. We are excited about the EV opportunity, and we will be starting test rides soon. The deliveries will begin as planned, and from initial three cities, we plan to get to 10 plus cities by March. As you have seen, we are establishing Vida as premium and aspirational brand with many segment-first offerings. Beyond the immediate, we plan to cover both the mid and affordable segment as well, and our teams are working towards building a strong pipeline of products, ecosystem, and offering, as we explained in our investor conference recently during our product launch in October. Coming to overall macroeconomic factors, while there are headwinds linked to inflation, the consequent rate increases and impact on economic growth, however, we do believe that the inflation and rate cycle may be close to peak now. Return of growth in developed markets may take a while, but India clearly is relatively much better placed with strong consumption base, favorable demographic profile, and significant headroom for per capita consumption relative to other countries. The recent resurgence of spending across categories during the festive season is reflective of return of consumer confidence and augurs well for the industry growth moving forward. On that note, let's open the floor for Q&A. Over to you, Umang.
Thank you. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Gunjan Prithyani from Bank of America. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Thanks, team, for taking my questions. My first question is on the industry demand outlook. Now, clearly, I mean, we're talking about some green shoots during this festive, but could you give us some more color as to, you know, was it just the pent-up demand and, you know, a lot of aggressive schemes that you had around festive that helped, or you're seeing some decisive change in the growth outlook and you think, you know, from here on, you know, industry is back to growth? So some color around, you know, what you saw during the festive and how should we think about the growth? And, you know, along similar lines, if you can share the inventory levels for Hero as well.
Right. Thanks, Kunjan. Let me hand over this to Ranjeev Jeet. Ranjeev Jeet, you're there. Can you just take this?
Yeah, sure. Hi, Kunjan, and hi, everyone, and wish you all had a very good Diwali. I'd like to just, talk a little bit about festival and then move on to the demand and how we approached it, touching upon, therefore, how, this entire result has come about. So festival was, as usual, the 32 days. This time, of course, it came a little bit early from 26 September to 27th of October. We were close to the consumer trends. We were close to our dealers and our customers and understanding, you know, what is the sentiment, what's going on. And that's why we came up with this idea of India, let's celebrate, phir se, dil se, and created the Grand Indian Festival of Trust, which is, you know, something that was very well appreciated because this is the time when consumers wanted to come out, and after 2 years of COVID, this was the pent-up demand, of course, like you mentioned, would come out. So there, in that, it is also very important to understand what the trends and the underlying trends are. And there was a clear sense towards premiumization. And this is what we were working on, the premium portfolio, getting that out into our dealerships, making sure, like Niranjan said, the X-Tech range, that we prioritize that, because this is also the range that uses the chips, which have been in short supply. And I must commend our supply chain team for having managed to bring in, those supplies well and prepared for the festival during Q2. So whether it was Destiny or Passion or Glamour or Splendor, all of them we prioritize in terms of preparing for the model mix, because that is the key, that is critical, that we are very much in tune with where the consumer is and where the consumer demand is. It also, therefore, it was incumbent on us to prepare for the entire ecosystem. The ecosystem had come out of 2 years of COVID, and so would we peak up to the level that we were anticipating? That required a lot of engagement with our ecosystem at the dealerships, and also very importantly in the rural networks, the secondary networks, where you know that Hero has a very strong position. And so getting that alignment with the ecosystem was something that we worked on. And so those are fundamentals. And then we prepared for the go-to-market. The go-to-market from a marketing campaigns perspective or a retail finance, which really picked up also during this time, the exchange programs that we put in and the customer offers, and a lot of the work that we did was digital, including upper funnel as well as lead generation on this. So it went, I must say, you know, rural overall in July and August was a little bit soft, but then was moving ahead at a slower speed. We saw a lot of pent-up demand. So addressing your question, that demand did come up during the first 10 days of Navratri very well, and then came on the rains. The rains, which for the next 10 days or 9, 10 days were incessant, and they were prolonged, and they were pretty much unprecedented. And our consumer base in the rural area did need to, you know, fall back and take care of their crops, take care of whatever else they needed to do. But in the last 6 days towards Dasara and Diwali, they came out. And that was very promising, that even the whole portfolio that we have was very, very well served. As you can imagine, we came in with a 20% growth during the festival season. So what I really wanted to say, Gunjan, is our Q2 was all about preparing for the festival. And when you get the hockey stick effect at that time, that's really what works. And that's what we had predicted. And it was good that work happened. And the peak, we were able to satisfy consumer needs for the festival season with a whole portfolio of our hero products. So that's very much there. And then to the last part of your question, the other side of the rains is it actually could be an upside going forward for the winter crop, in addition to which there are quite a few auspicious days that come up in November, December, right up to, you know, April, May, etc. So I think fundamentals and the underlying performance is pretty strong from what we see. And when I told you about 20%, it is end consumer retail. They're actually what consumers have bought. So it's not what the dealers have bought. And that gives you a good sense of the underlying performance. I hope I was able to answer your question.
Sure, this is very helpful. The inventory levels, if you can share that, and then I'll get on to my second question.
Yeah, sure.
Gunjan, I'll take that one. So our inventories are at one of the lowest post-festive. As you know, we won't give out a number, but we maintain, let's say, a 4 to 6 weeks, so it is down to actually the lowest end of that spectrum, Gunjan.
Okay, got it. My second question is a little bit, you know, more around the strategy. I mean, you're clearly calling out more of premium, and your entry has also been seeing a lot of slowdown. But 125cc segment is where, you know, we've done well in the past, and it's a segment which is now expanding, and we're seeing a lot more competition from the rest of the players as well. So, you know, what is the thought process here in terms of, you know, product intervention? I understand Glamour and all. We've tried to, you know, make some interventions, but it's not really worked. I mean, we are losing market share in that sub-segment. So maybe, you know, what's the broader strategy there, if I think from a next 2 to 3 year perspective?
Ranjeev ji.
Sure. So the 125cc segment is a very interesting one. Of course, it's seeing growth. It's going seeing growth from upgraders from the 100-110cc as well as downgraders from the 150-160cc segment, and we are well placed. Our Super Splendor, which we've now come up with a canvas, and we backed it up with a beautiful campaign, has in the festival season done very, very well in terms of, you know, the key markets that it operates in. And when you look at Glamour X-Tech is something that initially in the earlier part of the year we had some shortages. We were able to address that, and we have now introduced a new product, which is the Metallic Nexus Blue, and then we came in with a campaign with the megastar Ram Charan. And it's created a lot of excitement, not only in Andhra Pradesh and Telangana, also in West Bengal and in other markets, where in quarter two itself, it's had a very strong double-digit growth. So we are seeing good momentum in the 125cc, and you'll continue to see more innovations from us and more of the portfolio coming in the 125cc as we go along.
All right. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, In order to ensure that management is able to cover questions from all the participants in the queue, we request you to please limit your questions to two per participant. The next question is from the line of Kumar Rakesh from BNP Paribas. Please go ahead.
Hi, thank you for taking my question. My first question was around EV. So how has been the booking so far in the first 20 days since we opened the booking for our Vida portfolio? And what's the value proposition our JV with Gogoro brings in, given that they would be targeting the market separately as well? So where do we stand on that part? That would be my first question.
Thanks, Kumar, for the question. What our plan on EV is to open the test rides very soon, and we will be starting deliveries as planned. As far as booking numbers are concerned, you will have to be patient for the sales to happen, and then as the sale numbers happen, then you will get the disclosure then. In terms of the Gogoro part of it, what they have announced is an operational pilot, and learning from the operational pilot will be helpful across the entire ecosystem. And as far as the partnership and the thinking and the discussion on that is concerned, as you know, that's on swapping. And swapping is a flexibility that we have always said that we will build. And obviously, there are optionalities and flexibility that are coming along, and it will be across all the segments of B2B and B2C. Suresh, would you like to add anything?
No, I think you covered well, Niranjan. We are, really gearing up for the test rides to start soon. And with that, obviously, getting into the sales and delivery, and you'll have those in front of you very soon. On the Gogoro piece, whatever helps creating the category and helping the EV category grow is always welcome. And there will be good pilots going on this front, we are in discussions to close out the rest of the plan with Gogoro.
Thanks, quite helpful. My second question was around the Hero FinCorp business. So last quarter, we had invested about 7 billion rupees in that business. And we had discussed in the last quarter that we would be targeting bringing down the credit cost in the business closer to 5.5% through this year. So where do we stand on that in the first half or September quarter, whatever you could share?
Yeah, they're progressing well, Hero FinCorp, and actually their profits have gone up from a level of quarter one where the PAT was around 110 crores. They delivered 160 crores. Their actually profit before credit cost, they delivered the quarter is one of the highest. Their GNPAs have come down to 6.5% in the quarter, and they are targeting the trajectory to move towards 5% over next few quarters. So I think they're progressing pretty well. With AUM growth, which is close to double digits, and given India's financing penetration and the debt-to-GDP ratios, the opportunity in NBFC segments are significant. And I think Hero FinCorp, we believe, are on a platform which augurs well for a takeoff from here on.
I'll call back in the queue.
Thank you.
Kumar.
The next question is from the line of Chandramouli Muthiah from Goldman Sachs. Please go ahead.
Hi, good afternoon, and thank you for taking my questions. My first question is on Hero's quarterly model mix in 2Q. Normally, we see HF Deluxe entry-level model volumes improve in the September quarter versus June. This time, it seems that there's been a QOQ decline, but a lot of that decline seems to have been covered by the Splendor and Passion volumes. So just trying to understand what is driving this model mix shift. Is there a conscious effort to promote a better Splendor and Passion mix, or are there other on-ground demand factors at play?
Let me start, and then I'll ask Ranjivji to add on. You are absolutely right. As far as model mix is concerned, it's been favorable in terms of portfolio in quarter two, as well as in festive, where we have more of the, not only just the Splendor, but actually if you look at the festive also, the X-Tech, which actually comes at 5-7% premium to the core models, that has sold very well. In fact, overall festive, as we talked about, that X-Tech models comprise 20% of the festive retail. So quarter two also favorable mix, and that has got reflected even in the average selling prices. We anyway have been consciously moving towards premiumization, as we have talked about, and therefore the customers which are actually, or the customer pool as well, wanting to upgrade, and equally our push in terms of our efforts in the market through X-Tech and through marketing these variants and more premiumization, that's what's helping. Ranjivji, add on?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you know, the premiumization is a trend that we are seeing not only in two-wheelers, we are seeing it across industries. And the good thing is that consumers are really appreciating the X-Tech range. Glamour already above, you know, 60-70%. Similarly, there are lots of other models that we have. Passion is doing extremely well with the X-Tech range. There's a lot more demand for Splendor X-Tech than what we can currently supply. Destiny X-Tech has been a big, you know, uptick as well in terms of growth. So overall, I think that's what's been happening. But after the rains in, you know, in the mid part of the festival and towards the last part after the rains, we saw even HF Deluxe come back. But look, that's pretty normal. I would say that the big trend is towards premiumization, and we were able to gear up our portfolio and our model mix to meet that consumer demand.
Got it. That's helpful. My second question is on the post-festive demand trajectory. This year, from a registration standpoint, we have seen a better festive month for the two-wheeler industry compared to the past 4 years. But wholesales from most two-wheeler OEMs in October have not necessarily followed through with that kind of momentum. So just trying to check what is holding dealers back from accepting more stock from the two-wheeler OEMs in general.
Let me just begin, and then I'll ask also request Ranjivji to build up on that. The most fundamental thing and good thing is about the festive retail, because once the retail happens, and the retail with a 15 to 20% growth, of course, we grew by 20%. Augurs extremely well, and we saw that inventory levels are down to one of the lowest ever post-festive. So obviously that builds a base for the wholesale moving forward. And on the post-festive retail demand, because that's what will drive the wholesale, given that the inventory levels are anyway at the lowest, and that also provides that headroom. Ranjit has already covered about the optimistic prospects of the demand moving forward on the first one, but Ranjit, if you want to build a little bit more on the demand prospects moving forward?
Yeah, I'll just build on, you know, also when you look at October, last year festival was in November. So obviously there was still a stocking up that inventory levels that dealers were going for. Here, you know, with 24th, 25th being Diwali around that time, and then you have a few, you have a week of, you know, non-festive in a true sense. So not entirely comparable, but as you go forward, like I said, it's a more optimistic kind of a view that we have right now with the rains, with the rural sentiment, which has been demonstrated during the festival that we saw, and the upcoming marriage dates that we are seeing, whether it's in February or in March. I mean, it's definitely looking more optimistic for us.
Got it. That's helpful. Thank you very much, and all the best.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Jinesh Gandhi from MOFSL. Please go ahead.
Hi. My question pertains to, first of all, if you can share some data points with respect to spares revenue and operating other income for the quarter.
Yeah, Jinesh, we can do that. As far as the parts business revenue for the quarter is concerned, is 1,244 crores. Quarter one was 1,061 crores, and corresponding quarter last year was 1,141 crores. And the other operating income for the same period is 231 crores, 181 and 309 crores.
Okay, okay. Secondly, with respect to retail during festive, how were they as compared to pre-COVID? How much below we are at the FY19 levels, and what is absolute retail like we were sharing in the past? Can you share that?
Yeah, Ranjivji.
Sorry, the voice was a little muffled. I didn't really...
So my question is, how were retails as compared to pre-COVID levels, and what were the absolute level of retails during 32 days festive?
Okay, so like I mentioned, we are 20% higher than last year, so that should give you a good sense of that. As far as the pre-COVID, we're not, you know, we are still a distance away from that in terms of maybe 2018, 2019, but not that much of a distance. So I would say, you know, the rains had its impact. there was definitely pent up demand, there was latent demand, but there was a reality. I've been visiting the markets, the dealerships, and people were more busy trying to protect the crop from the unseasonal rainfall. And I would say that the underlying factors are pretty strong there. So, you know, it's retails, absolutes are good. I think overall the economy for that segment, which we're catering to, I think will be positive.
Jinesh, just to build on what Ranjivjit has said, if you look at pre-COVID, you can broadly talk about 95% of the pre-COVID level during this festive to festive, which I think augurs extremely well, given in a discretionary category, the bounce back that has happened through consumer confidence and the build-up that we are seeing.
Oh, wow. So we are just about 5% short of pre-COVID levels. Huh? That's a very, very good outcome. Great. And as a continuation of that, were you seeing any different signs during festive between retail versus urban, sorry, rural versus urban, and markets where monsoons were weak? How did festive season go in those markets?
Ranjit ji,
yeah, sure. It started off again a little bit more positive for urban. Like I said in the beginning, rural was recovering but at a slower pace. And then the second part of it, when the rains came, of course that would have and did affect overall. But in towards the Dussehra Diwali phase, rural bounced back really well. So I think when people were able to put their worries aside and when they had collected the cash from the mandis, everything was in place, they came and did what they really wanted to do, which was to come and buy their favorite two-wheeler. So I think that part happened. So rural came back. Urban was anyway performing better. And like Niranjan said, we were very close to our, you know, pre-COVID days. Overall, I think across zones, it was fine, except for maybe an Andhra Pradesh, Telangana, which is undergoing some kind of a industry overall, which I'm sure all of you have followed. But beyond that, I think good performance across the board.
Got it. And lastly, if Niranjan can talk about how RM cost impacted margins in 2Q. And our expectations for 3Q? That's my last question. Thank you.
Yeah, as far as RM cost is concerned, you would have seen, Jinesh, that the cost in the quarter has come down. Whether you look at the previous quarter or you look at the corresponding quarter of the last year. In terms of moving forward, look, metals we have seen are cooling off. So therefore, some benefit of that is likely to flow in. Having said that, there is a bit of headwind arising out of the currency depreciation, which we have seen in the recent. So I think we'll have to continue to navigate this space like we have done in the past through a mix of pricing, through a mix of savings initiatives. So we need to continue to navigate this space.
Okay, so we saw some savings on commodities in 2Q, right?
Yeah, as far as commodities, you can see the benefit in the material cost actually getting reflected in quarter two.
Okay, got it. Thanks.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Kapil Singh from Nomura. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Just continuing on the previous question, is it possible to quantify how much commodity benefit you got for the quarter? Because, we would have a benefit of positive mix also.
Lastly, you can say that if you compare with the preceding quarter, because sometimes year-on-year comparisons in these cases do not make that much of sense. But if you look at, our material costs have come down from 72.8% to 72% of the overall revenue. So roughly, you can say around 30 to 40 basis points of that would be on account of the commodity cost, while the rest could be a mixed impact.
Okay, that's quite helpful. And going ahead, do you expect a larger benefit to come or bulk of the benefit to come in third quarter? Is that the right way to think about it?
I will not put a forecast guidance on that because that will lead to those guidance numbers. But I just reiterate that there is part of the commodity benefits that are yet to flow through, which will flow through in the coming quarters. The only headwind, I would say, is the currency. And how that plays out over the quarter, over a longer period of time, will determine finally is it a net benefit or a net actually cost on.
Sure. That's helpful. Secondly, if you could also just comment on, operating leverage overall, because we have seen slightly higher other expenses on a quarter-on-quarter as well as on a year-on-year basis. So how will these, costs evolve going ahead? And, we have maintained a longer-term margin guidance of 14 to 16%. So by when do you see yourself, getting there?
All right. So, Kapil, if you look at the quarter's other expenses have got impacted by higher marketing expenses, which we did. As Ranjitji talked about, X-Tech launches that we've been doing, so there have been campaigns running. So, higher marketing expense in quarter two, and there was some bit of spend phasing. So, I think the best way to look at it is look at the H1 other expenses, which are at 10.1%, and that would be a fair bit of range to actually look at in terms of building forward rather than the quarter, which was impacted by phasing as well. In terms of moving forward, look, our long-range guidance still remains. Obviously, we've been navigating very successfully in terms of the entire commodity inflation that has happened, trying to balance it off as to how much we can pass on to the customer, how much do we offset by our savings programs. And how much, therefore, we actually take it down in the margin. So we've been balancing that off quite sensibly. And while doing a percentage, it's also important to recognize the rupees per vehicle absolute delivery, and which is where I said in the beginning that percentage is one way to look at it. And, of course, the guidance of the long range remains. But in the meantime, we've delivered our highest ever gross profit per vehicle if you look at the first half over the last few years. So I think from an absolute perspective, it augurs well, given that the volumes still on an overall basis are not at pre-COVID level. Festive is at 95%, but on a full year basis, the industry is well short. So as volumes build up, the unit per vehicle margins that one is delivering will then help in getting operating leverage significantly. As far as the margin action over the long term are concerned, let me address that as well. Is obviously, as we talked about, premiumization, which we are driving. You've seen our portfolio mix. We are working on launching premium models over the next few quarters, and you will see every year that coming. So that will actually improve the profile. And obviously, as the rate cycle and inflation cycle peaks, then we'll have the dividends of the commodity softening as well. So I think there are things that augur well. We're not too concerned about the percentage margins at this stage, given that at least on a per vehicle basis, we are able to deliver a pretty strong bottom line on even a per vehicle basis.
Thank you. All the best.
Thank you.
The next question is from the line of Amyn Pirani from JP Morgan. Please go ahead.
Hi. Thanks for the opportunity. First, just a bookkeeping question. Any reason why the Gogoro-related mark-to-market loss is being driven directly through the other income instead of the other comprehensive income?
That would have been an option, but we did follow the accounting standards, and we actually, even in the last quarter, which is quarter one, we took it through the other income itself. And therefore, we followed the consistent practice of actually following it. But there could have been a choice of actually moving to other comprehensive income as well, as you are rightly saying.
Okay. Because that just increases the volatility in your EPS. So I just thought, I'll just ask. Secondly, appreciate the point that, on a per unit basis, in fact, your EBITDA per vehicle is well above 7,000, which is close to your all-time peak. But going forward, do you think that on the other expense side, the inflation could continue to remain high? And is this because of marketing cost? Is it energy cost? If you could help us understand, what kind of costs are going up? Because while commodities may come down, is there a risk of inflation in the other line items? I think that is what we would like to understand.
We don't see inflation in the other items. As I explained, that a bit of elevated in the quarter is because of the marketing spends and the spend phasing. And if you look at the H1, which is broadly around 10.1% that we are looking at, we don't see a significantly higher inflation on that. So there's no energy inflation. Our employee cost, broadly, it moves along with the industry. And as we get the higher volumes, as the industry grows and we also gain market shares, the operating leverage also should kick in. So there's no fundamental concern around inflation in the other expenses outstripping this one. Having said that, just one thing I want to highlight, and then therefore we can, you know, pick that up moving forward as well. As we are moving forward, obviously, as our EV is scaling up, the EMBU spends are going to be higher, but that's actually something which is building investment for the long term. And therefore, that's something. But underlying ICE business, if you're asking, there's no concern around inflation outstripping our top-line growth on the other expenses.
Sure. Thank you. That color was helpful. Thank you. I'll come back in the queue.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Chirag Shah from Nuvama. Please go ahead. Chirag Shah, your line has been unmuted. Please proceed with your question.
Yeah. Thanks for the opportunity. Sir, I had two questions. So question one was on the premium product, the 150cc plus product. Can you just more elaborate in terms of how should we expect the product launch timelines and intervals? Why I'm asking this, we have launched X-Pulse, which is doing extremely well, but it's a kind of a niche category.
Yeah, Chirag, thanks for asking the question. So while we would not be in a position to indicate an exact timeline, but what we can say is, and you're absolutely right, the X-Pulse has been received extremely well, but it's in the niche segment. You will see us launching premium models in the core segment pretty soon. I mean, if I were to say over the next 2 years time frame, you will see models which are in the volume segment and the profitable segment of the premium as well, including the platform that we are developing jointly with Harley.
Thank you. We'll move to the next question from the line of Arvind Sharma from Citigroup. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi, good afternoon, sir, and thanks for taking my question. Sir, the ASP seem to be doing very well, partly driven by mix for sure and partly because of price hikes. At what point do you think that these price hikes would start impacting demand? Especially asking because market share has been a little volatile in the domestic bikes and competition is intense. So do you think at some point in time one has to take a relook at the kind of price hikes, etc., or maybe take some pricing action in order to boost volume? Is that something that is part of the plan?
Right. I think the best indication of price absorption in the market has been the festive retail. And we have seen that festive retail is growing at 20%, or you can say 15 to 20% for the overall industry. And that means that all the price increases that have happened so far have been absorbed by the market. And the way industry has been doing is in a very sensible way. It's not been taking very steep hikes. So it's been taking kind of a moderate hike. If you look at actually overall inflation in the economy is at 7%. So versus a 7% inflation, if you look at the price hikes that have happened, probably they would be close to maybe 5 to 6%. Yeah, so equal to or below the general CPI inflation that we are talking about. Moving forward, we do believe that a moderate level of price increases will continue, but they are likely to be below the general inflation rate. And therefore, that augurs very well because that gets absorbed in the economy as well. And of course, in terms of pricing action for the volume, typically in the industry, when the commodities cool off, then of course that allows the industry to recover the margins in terms of percentages as well. And then it allows also headroom for more investment on the product side, feature side, and providing value to the consumers from that point of view rather than taking pricing down.
Sure, sir. Thank you so much. Sir, just one last question. Your comments on the market share trends and anything that is there in the target or something which you have planned, especially in the domestic motorcycle industry.
Ranjit?
Yeah, so the market share trends, I think the biggest indicator that you will get is the festival growth that we got, and I want to just draw your attention to the retail side of it, because we've been focusing a lot on the end consumer demand and the end consumer retails, and there was a little bit of a blip in September, but we bounced back very strongly in October, and that's further got strengthened in November. So we ended October in Vahan at 34.6. We went to 38.5 in November so far. So that's one way of looking at it, although Vahan has a lag of about 2 to 3 weeks and is not always very stable. But if you look at it over a long period of time, you do get a good trend line of where the trends are, and so far we seem to be doing pretty okay on that.
Let me build on what Ranjit has said in terms of the overall medium term, the way we look at direction and the drivers of the market share. So as we all know, we continue to be extremely strong in our entry segment. We continue to be very strong in our Deluxe 100-110 segment, with Splendor Plus actually outstripping all the models, and that has got fortified more with the X-Tech variants. 125cc we covered, where we actually lost market share. We will be on our way to recovery. We have launched X-Tech on Glamour as well, and Ranjit, we talked about the action on the 125cc. So that will be entry, and Deluxe 110 will be about maintaining the strong position that we have. 125cc will be about recovering the lost market share through the actions that we have. And premium will be building the market share through the portfolio that we are launching. So those will be the drivers of the market share moving forward over the medium term from a domestic ICE perspective.
All right. Thank you so much, sir, for taking my question. That's all from my side. Thanks so much.
Thank you. We had lost the connection for Mr. Chirag Shah from Nuvama. We have him back in the queue. Chirag Shah, please go ahead with your second question.
Yeah, thanks a lot, sir. I couldn't hear the answer for the first question. In case you have summarized, then I'll skip that. I'll repeat the first question. On the premium product, I was trying to understand your launch pipeline and the timelines that you are looking at, because after X-Pulse, which did very well in its niche category, we have yet to capitalize on the brand build that we have done. So if you can share some thoughts and just, yeah.
So while we had the Chirag, I'll still amplify a little bit more on that. So yes, X-Pulse has done. It's not that we've not utilized that brand equity. I think we are expanding that. You know, we are doing lots of actions on that at the dealer end, at our rallies, etc., etc. On the product pipeline, as you know, we had signed the agreement with Harley to jointly develop the platform, which will be right in the four most profitable segments of the premium. And that is in advanced stages. So while we are unable to give a timeline, but it's in advanced stages of coming on ground. Beyond that, we've been working also on across the CC, right up to, we have talked about it earlier, Chirag, right up to 400cc. In the sports, adventure, racing segments as well. You don't see it because the work has started 2 years, 2.5 years back, and typically, as you know, the launches take 3 to 4 years starting from the scratch, and therefore you will see the model launches every year from here on moving forward.
Thank you very much, sir. The second question was on Ather. What was the dilution that undertook in Ather, and I presume your equity stake is maintained in Ather, right?
Chirag, there's a minor dilution which has happened. If you look at our fully diluted basis, this has gone down by around 2%, close to 2% on the current holding, which was around 39%, and it's gone down to probably around 37%. Now, that's because they've raised fundraise from GIC, which is 400 crores at a valuation of 6,000 crores. Now, this is almost an extension of the previous fund round, and we had already put our capital in the month of May, if I remember right. So that's a minor dilution that happened. But strategically, our direction, our intent, our position on Aether doesn't change, and Aether as a company, as a portfolio, is doing very well.
If I can squeeze in one last question, sir, H2 volumes versus H1, given the festive has been reasonably strong after a lull, can we expect a strong kind of a double-digit growth sequentially, H2 over H1, at industry level and at Hero level?
Right. So, Chirag, we'll not be able to give a number guidance on H2. I think overall, if you look at the industry, and again, coming back to industry, I think the fact that the festive retails are 95% of pre-COVID, we know that on a full year basis, the industry is far away from the pre-COVID, but at least the festive retail being there, that's a very encouraging sign. On top of that, when we look at even the crop cycle, where the crop harvesting is happening because of delayed rain now, we've looked at the other fundamental factors also. The GST collections, as we know, are good. The crop realizations are good. Consumer confidence on spending is coming back. I think it all augurs well. Now, how fast, how quickly it translates into industry volumes moving forward, that could be a matter of a few months here and there. But I think we stay positive on the outlook moving forward on the back of a very strong festive performance by the industry.
Thank you. Thank you very much and all the best.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Nishit Jalan from Axis Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Thank you for the opportunity. Sir, I have two questions. Firstly, if I look at your sales volume of models like Passion and Glamour, good to see that we have seen some pickup in the last few months. But still, the volumes of these two models are significantly below the volumes which they used to do 3-4 years back. So just wanted to understand your thoughts as to what went wrong and according to you, what will be required from your side to go back to those models, because Passion used to do 70,000-80,000 per month and even Glamour used to be there at one point of time. But now we are significantly below those levels. That is the first question. And second question is on, sir, our receivables have gone up very significantly. We do have some seasonality, I think, in the September quarter, but if I look at the receivable days, have gone up to almost 43-44 days of sales. So is it purely seasonal, or have you made any changes to the credit period that you are giving to dealers, because the inventory was high, so you are giving higher credit period? Just wanted your thoughts on these two questions. Thank you so much.
So on the first question, let me request Ranjivjit to answer. Ranjivjit, over to you.
So we've seen a good revival on Passion and Glamour, and I think the X-Tech range, as we've talked about, has been the primary driver. Consumers have really appreciated the first-in-segment features that we have, whether it's the navigation, the Bluetooth, the LED headlamps, a lot of premium features, and that's what drives this segment. So rest assured that this is coming back. We've also invested, as you know, and as I've told you, on Glamour X-Tech in terms of the celebrity Ram Charan, as well as, the campaign and the new colors, etc., which have come up very, very well. People are saying that they want that bike, you know, which Ram Charan is riding. And they've got Passion also, which is now coming back in a big way. So going forward, we see that these segments will continue to contribute and grow as we go along. The upcoming marriage seasons, we will see that, that has definitely will play a big role, because these are the models that will be in demand. The retail finance has played a very big role now, and that will continue to drive demand for these kind of features. These are aspirational products, and that is what will be driven. So we're very confident about the growth.
Thanks, Ranjit. Let's just build a little bit on that. Specifically on Passion, while of course we need to address, and Ranjit has talked about the actions and we are confident of addressing it, but whatever we've lost on Passion, actually we've gained on Splendor Plus. So we've been able to capture that within our own portfolio at actually higher margins. Having said that, that doesn't take away from the fact that we need to get Passion back to those volumes, and the actions are in place. On the receivables, it's purely seasonal. There is, of course, a bit of the, when you look at the price, increases that have happened. But yeah, in terms of number of days, when you look at it, it's just seasonal. And in fact, as we stand today, we've already, post-festive, we've already had the collections bringing it down to the normal levels. There hasn't been any change in the underlying credit period.
Okay, so just one follow-up.
Nishit, I'll just add that both Passion and Glamour in Q2 have really performed very well. So rest assured on that, they've been very strong double-digit growth, Passion and Glamour.
Thank you. Yeah. So just one follow-up on receivable days. Can you remind us what is the credit period that you give to dealers and how much of it is free of interest and how much is basically chargeable on an interest basis?
It's 15 days free of interest.
And then do you give credit period with some interest also to the dealers?
Yeah, after that interest is chargeable.
Okay, thank you so much.
Okay.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Hitesh Goel from CLSA. Please go ahead.
Yeah, sir, just wanted to get a sense more on the commodity cost side. So we look at, steel, aluminium, precious metals, these things, right? And that have fallen quite a bit, right? But, you have been talking about energy cost. We were looking at, the oil price also. It's not changed. Actually, it's come down from first quarter levels. So where are we seeing this inflation? Is it due to vendors seeing cost increases, which they're passing on in terms of, overhead costs? Or also on the semi side, and semi I would believe would be mostly in the premium side and would be very small proportion of revenues, right? So just can you give us more color on where we are, why we are not calling for a decent increase in margins in second half from the commodity side?
Yeah, from the second half perspective, it's the currency, honestly. So as currency, the currency is depreciated, down to 83, and currency impacts across all the baskets. Because most of these commodities are denominated in terms of their pricing at port parity pricing through a dollar level. So that's what impacts. Steel, aluminium, etc., no. And as far as the semi is concerned, yes. So that kind of indicates, basically the premium end part of it. I would actually put it down to second half outlook, which I talked about. Is down to broadly to the currency, which could actually offset the benefits of the cost that we're getting into.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Jyoti Singh from Arihant Capital Markets Limited. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you for the opportunity. So my question on the rural side, so my question is on the rural side. What's your outlook going forward? As you did mention that rural is doing well. And another question is on the EV front. If you can tell us or guide us about the expectation of EV revenue contribution.
So for the first question, I request Ranjivji to answer, and then I request Swadesh to answer the second one. Ranjivji.
Sure. So like I mentioned that rural recovered a little slower, but when it bounced back, it actually came at 3 points higher than even last year during the festival season. With the rains behind us, with a positive outlook, we think that we are more optimistic about rural demand coming back. I believe that will happen. The marriages in February, March particularly will play a role in driving rural demand. So I believe your question is very fair in terms of, the balance that we have in our portfolio, and I think rural will augur well.
Yeah, on the EV side, as you see, the EV market is actually, almost tripling up from the last year to this year. And if you look at it from the segment within the EV, from mass to mainstream to premium, if you look at the higher price point where we are playing, it takes about almost 32% of the market in the first half, and that's where we are well positioned. In the three cities which we have already launched, and soon we'll start the test rides, that takes up about 26% of the premium market. So we are playing in a very significant portion of the EV market. And as we launch another set of cities, that will cater to another 20-odd% of the market, right? So I think we are playing in a very significant segment of EV. We are playing in the top cities of the EVs. And as we had mentioned earlier during our launch, we are here to create the category and we are putting the right building blocks, whether it's the right product, charging infrastructure, or the digital platform and our touch points, customer touch points. So we want to make sure that all this is set up, doing well, and customer is taking it well. We are going towards, having this foundation built very well in the coming months. And we know that from there on, we will be able to garner a leadership position. So just wanted to give you the segment and the cities we are playing in, and we are very strongly building the foundation in the next few weeks.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. A reminder to the participants, please limit your questions to two per participant. The next question is from the line of Kapil Singh from Nomura. Please go ahead.
Yeah, sir, my question has been answered. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Jinesh Gandhi from Motilal Oswal. Please go ahead.
Thanks for giving the opportunity. So, first question is on the impact of RDE norms on two-wheelers. How do you see that in terms of cost increases?
I didn't get your question because your line is a bit muffled, Jinesh, so not able to get your question.
Is it better now?
Yeah, try again.
Yeah, so any sense on what would be the cost increases because of RDE norms or BS6 phase 2 norms of, which is coming in from April 23?
Okay, you're talking about the OBD phase 1 and phase 2, right? Onboard
yeah,
diagnostics.
Correct.
Which is, the impact is not significant. It's pretty marginal from a regulatory cost point of view.
Okay. And secondly, with financing penetration going up to 60% plus, what is now our share share of financing from HFCL?
HFCL continues to be hovering around 35% plus or minus a few basis points, depending on which period actually you take.
Okay, so it's not, it hasn't gone up materially with increase in penetration rates. That's great. And lastly, on the operating other income side, you've said this quarter was 231 crores, right? 1Q was about 109 crores.
So, other operating revenue quarter 2 is 231 crores and 1Q was 181 crores.
Oh, 1Q was 181 crores. Okay. Yeah. Got it. Thanks. I'll fall back in queue.
Thank you. Due to time constraint, this was the last question for today. I now hand the conference over to the management for closing comments.
Well, that's it. Thank you so much. Thank you everyone for joining in. We look forward to keeping connected. If you have any follow-ons, please feel free to reach out to us. Thank you.
Thanks everyone. Thanks for joining our call.
Thank you everyone.
Thank you.
Thank you. On behalf of Emkay Global Financial Services, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us and you may now disconnect your lines.